produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Is brought to you by Josie's Inspiration Radio Network USA World, produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Network USA World. USA toll-free callers 1-310-742-1858. Again, that's 1-310-742-1858.
Hello, 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 and welcome to The Living Room. I'm your host, Julia Davis, and I'm always excited every chance we have the opportunity to come together. You guys are so special to me. I'm telling you, I look forward to our gathering in the living room. Now, you know what we say, the living room is the place where intimate conversations are life-changing. And if you've been listening for a while, you know we've had some great conversations. In fact, just last month, we, in honor of Women's History Month, talked to a woman entrepreneur, Nikki Humphreys, and she shared with us her journey. We talked about mentoring. We talked about networking. We talked about being teachable. We even talked about marriage and having your spouse as your partner in business. It was a great conversation. So if you missed it, you can always email me and I'll send you the link. My email address is Destiny, D-E-S-T-I-N-Y, Empower, E-M-P-O-W-E-R, at gmail.com. And if you email me, I'll gladly send you the link from last month's broadcast, because I think that information is very helpful and I know you'll be blessed. So let's get on with today's topic. Today, I want to talk to you about three things that I think will be helpful and certainly provide you with the kind of strength that I know we will need in the coming months. And can I be very candid with you? I felt a sense anticipation of sorts, because I knew that this pandemic was taking its toll, and I realized that so many lives were impacted and so many people were still dealing with the side effects of having been infected with COVID-19, and so many of us haven't even had a moment to grieve from losing loved ones. And all of these things were on my heart and in my mind. And as I began to think about those things, I realized that just when we thought things were starting to settle, here comes another crisis on the horizon. And so now, in addition to COVID, we are also dealing with international issues. And we are dealing with an increase in prices across the board, specifically food and gas prices. And for a lot of us, this is an additional challenge. And so My heart just goes out to those who are working through so many issues they've never had to work through before, and certainly issues that they haven't worked before in tandem or in combination with each other. And so I began to think about what could be a word of encouragement, what could be a word of empowerment for those who are dealing with diverse challenges. And I was reminded of a passage of scripture in James, where James says, "Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations." And that word diverse means multiple temptations, multiple situations, some that are not even within your control. He says, "Count it all joy." And I remember thinking, okay, that's got to be a challenge. You mean I'm supposed to consider it joyful to deal with some of the things that I know I'm dealing with and what others are dealing with? But here's what I believe James was trying to communicate. He was saying to us, consider it joy when you go through or when you're challenged with multiple situations. But then he tells you why. He says, because the trying of your faith worketh patience. And then he says, let patience have its perfect work. In other words, through the situations that you're dealing with right now, they are, in effect, doing a work on the inside of you that, can I be honest, probably can't be accomplished any other way. That is not until your situation is challenged, and as we used to say growing up, your change is strange, and that there are so many other challenges going on in your life, that your faith is really put to the test. And James is saying that it's your patience that will have a perfect work within you, that your patience will begin to perfect you because you'll begin to see that you can wait on God, you can expect God to deliver, and that is because your faith is being tried in that moment. And then I thought about the passage of scripture in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And I thought about how that passage speaks to how all things will work together for our good. And if you read up before verse 28, you'll see in verse 24 that the Apostle Paul is telling the church at Rome that your hope, your level of hope is important. He says this hope is so important that we were saved by this hope. And he's telling us that, you know, even though you can't see it because of the hope, the expectation that you have, you can wait patiently for it. It seems as though the Apostle Paul and John and James, I'm sorry, were having a conversation, because James is telling us that the diverse temptations are going to work patience in our lives, and that patience will have a perfect work. And then Romans 8 is telling us that when we hope for that which we can't see, then that's what real hope is, because what purpose is it to hope for that which you can see? That's not hope at all. And so when we have to hope for something that we cannot see, Paul is challenging us to what? To wait patiently for it. There's that word. And so that passage really connected for me, hit me in a place where I needed to be hit. And then verse 26 and 27, same chapter, Romans 8, the Apostle Paul talks to us about prayer. Once again, something that we absolutely need in times of adversity, something that is essential to our ability to be able to stand, and having done all, stand, that our ability to pray, to commune with God, to talk to God, to stand in the gap and intercede for others, our ability to touch heaven about earth situations, our ability to use what I believe is our main line of communication. I saw a t-shirt and it said, that prayer is the greatest wireless network in the world. And I wholeheartedly believe that. And so when you think about that, you realize, wait a minute, there's something going on here. Hope is key, and keeping our hope for that which we cannot see. Then prayer is key, because it gives us the ability to communicate to heaven about what's going on earth. But then get this, it also says that we are inviting heaven to intervene into what's going on earth. So, so very powerful. Oh, I hope you hear me today, because that principle of touching heaven on earth's behalf, of inviting heaven to come in and intervene in these earthly situations. Can't you see how critical that is when we're facing all manner of changes and adversity, when there are wars and rumors of wars? We have to be able to touch heaven on earth's behalf. And then in that same two verses, the Apostle Paul tells us, even when you don't know how to pray, the Spirit, capital S, makes intercession for us, helps our infirmity, searches the heart, gives us the ability to pray when we don't know what to pray. That Holy Spirit is our chief intercessor. So there's no excuse, even when you don't know what to pray. The word says moanings and groanings that cannot be uttered. I don't know about you, but I've faced moments where I did not know what to pray. And when I did, I found great comfort in just being able to know that even though the words wouldn't come, that my prayer was still heard in heaven. So he talked to us about hope. He talked to us about prayer. But then when we get down to that last verse, the most popular verse, he says, and we know that all things work together for the good, for the prerequisites. Look at the prerequisites. For those who love God and for those who are called according to his purpose. My. So our understanding of knowing, that means that we have to have that confidence. It didn't say guessing. It didn't say wondering. It didn't say hoping. He says, and we know this, that all things work together for good. This is something that we know. And in order to know that, you have to have those other pieces, honestly. You have to have hope and you have to have prayer. You have to have the ability to know that even though we are in this world, we are certainly in this world, we are not of this world. In other words, because of the way God has orchestrated this thing, we have the ability to transcend beyond this world and to touch heaven on the behalf of what's going on here on earth. That we have a duality that many times we struggle with. Because why? Because we see these things going on in our world around us, but then we also know that we are spirit beings because we were made and created in the image of God, and God is a spirit. And so we live in this body, but we're actually spirit beings, and our spirit is the part of us that most closely connects us to God. And so with that in mind, you know, it's prayer that gives us the ability to connect with heaven. It's our ongoing communion that gives us the ability to touch heaven. And so knowing that it's going to work together for our good, yes, I can know that because I have focused myself in prayer. I can know that because I know what hope is, and I know what I'm hoping for. I know what I'm expecting. And that is how I am able to know that it's working together for my good. That there is an understanding about how God does things that in many cases I may not fully understand, but I know that he loves me and I know that he cares about me and he cares about every facet, every detail of my life. And I know that because he cares, that he hears my prayers and he knows what is best for me. And I'm totally in a place where I need him. And so when you get to that place, that's when you really are able to see him do great things. And so this is what Paul was saying, was he was saying, it's working for me. Yes, there are some things going on in my life that I may not be pleased with. I may not have everything lined up the way I'd like. I may not have every I dotted or every T crossed. I may not have everything working together in my family or in my marriage or in my job or all of those key areas in my life. They're not perfect. But what I do know is because of who I am and because of who he is and the correlation between the two, it's working. For me, it's working for me. I can say that by faith in the present tense that it's working for me. Do I know all about it? No. Do I know all of the details of how it's going to work out? No. Do I even know how the different situations are going to come together? No. But I know that it is working for me. I can tell you so many examples in my life where I have felt like, God, now make it make sense. How is this going to come together? Times when I have followed what I believe was his leading, and I stepped into a place, and then I got there and looked around and realized, I'm not sure this is where I was supposed to come. I'm not sure this is where I'm supposed to be because of how the circumstances looked in the natural with my natural eye. But what I have learned is that as I decide that I'm going to follow him, I realize that things may not look right for me, but that doesn't mean that he's not in it. That doesn't mean he's not at work. Oh, I hope you hear me today. That is one of the greatest lessons I've learned, that even when it does not appear that anything is going on, it doesn't mean that he is still not at work. And so I realize that by faith, I have to say it's working for me. There are some things that I went through 5 years ago, and 5 years ago, it didn't make sense. But here we are 5 years later, and I now understand why it happened the way it did. I now understand why he opened the door when he did and why he closed a door when he did. Oh, I remember looking for a job in a particular season of my life where I felt that I had, you know, the qualifications and I had the networking and I had the inside track on some opportunities. And can I tell you that none of those things materialized because there was something specific that he wanted for me. And one day my phone rang and it was a friend of my daughter's mother calling about something for her. She wanted to know if it was okay if she asked my daughter about it. And when she made me aware of the opportunity, I said to her, well, if there's anything else like that that comes along, I'd be interested. And sure enough, That was the way that the door opened for me to be inside and working in a place where I know this is where I am to be in this season. And so I just have to tell you that sometimes when things don't make sense, as they so often can, sometimes when you're facing adverse circumstances and things don't appear to be lining up, I want to challenge you to say with your faith in gear, it's working for me. Because if you have a memory, all you need is a memory. If you have a memory, you can go back over the course of your life and remember some things that happened and remember how you felt at that time and remember the things that you were thinking in those moments. But now, as you look back, you realize that even those things were working for you. Even those things qualified you for opportunities that you would not have normally been qualified for. And can I say this? As we deal with adversity, there will be times when you will have the opportunity to encourage someone from the pages of your own life. You will have a chance to talk about how you dealt with stress, or how you dealt with feeling overwhelmed, or how you dealt with, you know, challenges with resources and finances. And these are all things that none of us particularly want to go through. But when you see that they too can work together for your good, they can authenticate your faith, and they can give you the ability to encourage someone else. Because listen, people want to hear from those who have been through it themselves. No, it doesn't mean you have to go through everything, but you should have some level of experience with certain types of life circumstances that will give your testimony some anointing, that will give your testimony some power. You see, whenever God delivers you from something or brings you out of something, he also gives you an anointing to bring someone else out of that. He also gives you a power in your testimony that will allow someone else to be encouraged in a way where they would not if you had not been through it yourself. It's just like the passage of scripture in the Bible where the blind man received sight, and the legal or the religious order in that community began to question him about who healed him. And it was because he was healed on the Sabbath day. And that man simply said, I really don't know all of what it is that, you know, you all are having issues with as it relates to how I received healing. All I know is I once was blind, but now I see. So that man had an authentic testimony that should he encounter anybody else who was dealing with blindness, he had the ability to speak to their circumstance and their situation in a way where others may not. Because why? Because he had been there. And so even in that way, beloved, it's still working for you. Oh my, I just want you to have a greater appreciation for how things happen in our lives and how they can be used to give us the ability to reach others. We know that life can be difficult. And I don't want to sugarcoat that for one moment. I don't want to sugarcoat the fact that there are things that can break your heart. But can I tell you that if you are able to hold on with your faith, and you are able to maintain the hope that I talked to you about earlier, and if you are able to pray and talk to God through every phase and stage of your circumstance, you will be able to see that it's working for you. It's working for you. You are connected to God and God's plan for your life, and he will not fail you because he promises to never leave us nor forsake us. We may not get the outcome that we want every time, but can I tell you, because of who he is and because of his promises, he has said it in verse 28. Here it is. It's working together for your good. If you love God and you are called according to his purpose, it's working for you. It's working for you. The woes and the cares of this life, Yes, they'll come, and I may have moments or seasons where I feel like I'm fighting every day. But can I tell you, there is a foundation that's being built that is going to give me what I need to be all that He's made and created me to be. That I have enough knowledge of architecture to know that when you're building a skyscraper, the building foundation looks different from what it looks like if you are building a two-story house. What am I saying? I'm saying that even in the depth of your challenges, they may seem as though they are more than you can bear. But can I tell you that God is building a foundation for the greatness that He has in you, and for the task that He has before you, and for the purpose that He has for your life. So please don't faint. Please don't give up. Please don't be overwhelmed to the point where you feel as though this is not worth it. Because I came with good news today. It's working for you. So be encouraged. Let me hear from you. DestinyInPower@gmail.com, or you can find me on social media at Juliet Davis or Juliet Davis Ministries, or on Twitter and Instagram at True_Journey. So there you go. There are multiple ways that you can reach me, and I would love to hear from you. So as we conclude today's show, just remember, hope, prayer, and it's working for you. Keep your head up. Keep your eyes on Him, beloved, in this season. And know that He is in charge of everything. And so as I close each show, I say these words because guess what? They're always true. The Word of God has transformation power. May His Word change your life forever.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Is brought to you by Josie's Inspiration Radio Network USA World, produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Network USA World. USA toll-free callers 1-310-742-1858. Again, that's 1-310-742-1858.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Chat and Chuckle with Keita Keet. I will be your host tonight, Keita Keet. Thank you so much for joining me this evening. And to all of my first time listeners, thank you so much for tuning in with me. Listen, real quick, before we get into tonight's show, just want to let you know, listen, if you want to send me a shout out, if you have any prayer requests, if you just want to say, hey, Keita, or hey, Keita, I like what you're doing, you can definitely do so by means do so by emailing me. My email address is lovetomakeyoulaugh@yahoo.com. Also, you can follow me or find me on social media. I'm on Facebook as well as Instagram. And you can find me on there under Keita Keet, and that is KETTAKEET. All right. I had to put the emphasis on that EE. Okay. but again, thank you so much for tuning in tonight. So tonight's topic, I have to be honest with you. I was kind of going back and forth, deciding what I wanted tonight's show to be about. And, you know, I kind of consulted with my family, my mom and my sister, just trying to, you know, just trying to see, you know, where I wanted to go with tonight's topic. And ultimately, I asked Holy Spirit, what direction should I be going tonight? And like my sister eloquently told me, you should have asked him first. So shout out to my sister Tammy, because she is right. I should have asked Holy Spirit first. And as soon as I asked him and got quiet, he showed me exactly what tonight's topic should be about. So tonight's topic is about being a light. We are called to be a light. All right. And real quick, before I jump into, you know, what we want to talk about tonight. And of course, this is still all in the same vein about tonight's topic on being a light. First off, I want to go ahead and just plug my first single. That's right. Whoop, whoop. plug my first single that was released in October 2021. And it's entitled My Light. All right. And so it's my first single featuring Gigi. So if you haven't already done so, it is all on on all streaming platforms. So you can find that on Spotify, iTunes, all streaming platforms at this time. But the title of the song is called My Light. And the hook of that goes, Jesus is my light, so I stay lit. Okay. Now, with that being said, I have had several conversations with some friends of mine, and the topic of being a light has come up. And the conversations that we've had, they've been kind of tough. They've been challenging because some of my friends have faced being in the workplace, being on a job, and they're saved, they're believers, they love God, but they've been challenged in the area of being a light. You know, they get kickback, they get backlash, and they're just trying to figure out what is, you know, why, you know, what is going on, and why they are treated the way that they're being treated. You know, they come in ready to work. They come in with smiles on their faces, happy, excited. And then there's always a person that for some reason does not really like the joy, the happiness, the laughter, the encouragement, or should I say the light that, that they exude. And so it becomes a challenge, you know, when you are, you know, you are walking, you know, you're walking in the Word, you're trying to do what the Lord tells you to do, but, you know, you have a question of why people are treating you the way that they're treating you. And so in having these conversations and receiving the word from my very own pastor, shout out to Pastor Nicole Bradley, who did a teaching one Sunday on about being the light and the importance of being a light. So we want to talk about that tonight. Have you all, you know, to my listeners, have you all been challenged in that area? And whether it's in your, on your workplace, you know, in your workplace, whether it was, you know, if you were at a store, even at home, and you're trying hard to be a light, you're trying to stay a light. And then sometimes you get challenged and, you even question yourself, you know, you're questioning yourself on, is it really worth it? You know, should I dim my light? Is there something else that I should be doing? You start kind of like doubting yourself and things of that nature. And the truth of the matter is God has called us to be a light. And so I'll just let you know what I shared in those conversations with my friends. I told them that their light bothers that individual's darkness. They don't like your light. And they don't like what your light represents. And so I just shared with them and encouraged them and told them, not only will you not dim your light, but you need to turn your light all the way up to 100 watts. That's right. So for all my listeners who are being challenged in this area right now, I'm letting you know that don't dim your light, but turn your light up even more. Amen. All right. So just real quick, want to share this scripture with you to back up what I am saying here. All right. And this scripture comes from Matthew 5 in the ESV version, verse 14 through 16. And it says, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Amen. All right. So you got encouragement from me. And God said in his word that we are to be a light. So it is biblical. All right. Now, with that being said, I just want to share some practical principles with you. So we've already got the biblical principle of it, but just want to share practical some practical principles with you as well. And this was this is a great website that I came across in this great article. This is found on www.theodysseyonline.com. 5 ways to be a light. Okay. And again, I'll repeat that website in case you want to go back and check it out. Again, that's www.theodysseyonline.com. And the title of this article is 5 ways to be a light. What do you do to draw others closer to God? Okay. And the author of this article's name is Kelsey Nicole Blue. Great article. All right. So talks about 5 ways that we can be a light. All right. So she starts off, she says, "You may have read this title and thought, what does it even mean to be a light? Well, in my mind, being a light is being so on fire for God that it is evident that you follow Christ and that this is your main priority. Being a light is making it known that you have something within you that's different. Something that only the presence of God can fill us with. Some Christians love Jesus so much and they want so badly to make it obvious and to share it with others without coming off as pushy. Being a light is the perfect way to do this. See, when we act different than other people, we draw attention to ourselves. People wonder why we're so happy or loving or whatever it may be. Sometimes all it takes to get people curious about God's love is how his people live their lives happy. So here are some ways that I have found help us to be a light. All right. So number one, be happy. The author goes on to say, you guys all knew this one was coming. Everyone, no matter how strong their relationship with Jesus is, has bad days. All right. And I can raise my hand to say, absolutely, I have had bad days. But she says, everyone has their own share of problems. But as God's children, we have to learn how to handle them in a way that Jesus would handle hardships. We can't walk around miserable and grouchy because we do indeed have an obligation to shine our light. When people can see that no matter what we're going through, we are happy and content, this is such an eye-opener. As Christians, most of us believe that everything that happens to us is part of a bigger plan. All right. Even though we don't always understand it, we believe that it has a purpose, whether to strengthen our faith, test us, grow us, whatever it may be. This is why we have to put our actions in alignment with this belief. No matter what is going on in our lives, remaining positive is such a key part to making sure our lights shine bright for Christ. Amen. And so as I was reading that particular part of the article, I thought about Romans 8:28. Which says that all things work together for our good that love the Lord and who are the called according to his purpose. And so for me, even through the bad days, I can still be happy and be content. That's where that joy comes from as well. All right. Nehemiah 8:10 says the joy of the Lord is my strength. And so that is something for all of those who are listening. That's just one way that we can shine our light. So, just being happy, being content, even through our bad days, because we know that it is working out for our good. Amen. All right. Now, the second on the list is be humble. She says being humble is so important. And she says to her, but being humble is so important. When I was younger, and she goes on to tell her story, when she was younger, my uncle opened my eyes about how much it says about a person when you see the way they handled their success. And ever since that seed was planted in me, it has only grown. All right. And this is important. She says, no matter what you're good at, whether it's sports, academics, your job, anything, be humble about it. Because as believers, we know that our gifts come from God. Without him, we are nothing. Without him, we wouldn't be here. Therefore, our talents and skills belong to him. Since they aren't ours to begin with, we shouldn't brag about them. Of course, we work hard to be good at things to better ourselves. We just can't forget to remember that without God, we aren't anything. So we owe him everything. Honor him in everything you do, and your light will radiate. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. All right. The third on the list says, live a different lifestyle. All right. She goes on to say, this one is hard for a lot of people, including herself and including myself. All right. It's very hard not to do what everyone else is doing because let's face it, no one wants to feel left out or look like the odd man out. But people, this is exactly what Jesus wants from us. He wants us to be leaders, not followers. He wants us to break the mold, not to conform to it. If you truly want to be a light, you can't just act like everyone else. That doesn't set you apart. This could be a variety of things. And I'm sure you all have something that comes to mind while reading this. And of course, I definitely am probably the poster child of not fitting into the norm. You know, God just revealed to me years ago that I was not normal and that it's okay. I tell this joke sometimes that, you know, we're talking about the scripture, you know, to find ourselves like in the scripture, and the scripture about we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Well, I have found myself right there at the peculiar people part. Okay. And I've been like this since birth. Okay. You can just ask my mom. She has all the receipts. So it's okay to not be like everyone else. Okay. And she goes on to say, can you do certain wrong things and still love Jesus? I believe you can 100%. But when we're talking about being a light for God daily, we must be different, or at least put forth that effort. Standing out in this way is one of the best ways to be acknowledged as God's children. Amen. So, yeah, so it's definitely important for us to stand out as believers, you know, and not be cookie cutter, but to seek God on what it is that we are to do and how it is that we, you know, definitely are to be a light. I am a Christian stand-up comedian. So that is the perfect opportunity for me to be a light while also sharing my God-given gifts as well. So whatever your gifts are, you know, your gifts and talents, you know, we can use those things to be a light as well. Praise God. So whether you sing, you act, you dance, do comedy, you know, no matter what your gifts are, we can use our gifts to be a light. Amen. All right. Number four, be a servant. We should always be willing to serve and to help others. I know we have our own lives and we get tired and busy, but helping others and being generous is so vital in being a light. Our God is a generous God, and we should try our best to copy that. If a friend or family member needs something, help them out. If you see a homeless man, give him some food. If you see someone struggling to carry their groceries, help them carry. It doesn't have to be big things. Just help when you can and try your best not to ignore a chance to serve. Amen. And that is very important as well. Talking about serving and what Jesus said about serving. You know, when you serve, you are amongst the greatest of these. You know, the person who serves, not the person who has come to be served. Amen. So if you have a servant's heart for those who mentor, for those who work out, for those who work in the community, for those who work with the homeless population, churches who do outreach, you know, these are opportunities to serve, and they are wonderful opportunities and amazing opportunities to be a light to others, you know, while we are serving. Amen. All right. And the last one on the list is love everyone. Yes, everyone. I think we all have people who get on our nerves and people we really don't want to hang out with. And in my opinion, that's okay. I believe the important part is that we still show them love. We are there for them when they need something, and we pray for them when they need it, even if they don't ask. Love is the most important of all. And God shows us that. He loves literally every single one of us. I'm going to repeat that. He loves literally every single one of us. That's so crazy to me to think about sometimes, because there are horrible people in this world and God loves them so much. Because of this, we should do the same. Nothing will shine our lights more than showing love to every person we encounter. This is hard sometimes, but love is everything. Love is how we draw people in closer to Jesus. Love overcomes so much. It was God's love for us that caused him to send his only son to die for us. If we can't show love to others, we aren't walking through life the Christian way. Amen. Praise God. And as I read that last sentence where she talks about it was God's love for us that caused him to send his only son to die for us. As you all know, that we are coming upon the Resurrection Sunday. And I think about the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross for us. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believed on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And so as we reflect on the things that we talked about here in this article on ways to be a light, we definitely had to remember that to love one another, but to also remember the love that God has shown us. Amen. Praise God. As I end tonight's show, I just again want to say thank you so much for tuning in tonight. But I just want to leave you with a couple of things. Again, you know, my light on all streaming platforms, but also how we can be a light, not just in this season, but every day in our daily lives. And it's so simple. I was in the grocery store last week, and I'll use this as an example before I close. I was in the grocery store last week with my grandmother running errands, and a girl picked up a case of water to put in her cart. But the cart started getting away from her. And so as it was rolling back, I just hurried up and grabbed it to keep it still so she can put it, you know, put the case of water in the cart. And she smiled and she said, thank you. And I said, no problem. The cart was trying to get away from you. And we chuckled, and then we went on. Something just so quick to show that we are a light. Amen. Amen. So something, so these small things, like the article said, it doesn't have to be anything big. It can just be something real small, holding the door for someone that's coming in. Maybe even letting someone merge over in traffic. You know, we have so many opportunities to be a light. It's so many things going on in this world. Let us all be a light. Amen. Praise God. Again, thank y'all so much for tuning in tonight. You all could have been anywhere, but you decided to join me. And I just want to say thank you. I appreciate the love. Thank you all so much. You all have a wonderful evening and a blessed weekend. Good night.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.